B-Pod Studios.
App. More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right, Hardy, you have questions that need to be answered.
Well, I was listening to the Toucher and Rich program earlier this week, and I heard you referencing songs of the summer. You know, what's the big hit tune this summer, and what has it been in summers past? And a certain song popped up that I've always had questions about, which got me to thinking, you know what? If anybody could answer my questions about what certain songs mean, it would be one Fred Toucher. So
poetry major, that's right.
Yeah, I have a couple of songs here, Fred, and I'm hoping that you can help me decipher the lyrics and explain to me once and for all what the hell is going on, okay?
All right.
So starting with one of these songs of the summer, this is what got me to thinking about it in the first place. It's a Carly Rae Jepsen song. And, you know, which one? You know, which one could it possibly be?
Well, the kid's got chops. I mean, she does a lot of producing and writing for other artists.
Right, right. But this is the song that has always puzzled me. And I'm hoping you can help me figure out what's going on.
I'm familiar with the song. Hey, I just met you.
Okay, so Carly Rae Jepsen sings, "Hey, I just met you," and this is crazy.
This is nuts.
But here's my number, so call me, maybe.
Yeah, so call me maybe. Crazy and maybe, loose rhyme.
Sure. This is where it gets a little weird for me. Before you came into my life, I missed you so bad.
You are such a simpleton.
Okay, well, explain it to me.
She's saying that she missed love. She didn't know that she. I mean, the idea of a man of that nature cruising in a convertible with your butt on the trunk. You know, getting loose, singing into a spatula with your girlfriends. I mean, there was always some kind of thing that she was searching for, and she didn't even know she had missed it. But just the idea of him makes her reflect and miss the time that she lost without him. I mean, because Carly Jepsen obviously was going down a dark, dark place. I mean, I'm talking Percocets. I'm talking about a lot of stuff. And then she met this guy, and she realized all she was missing in her life was this guy. Is that so crazy? And she,
yes.
she says, and this is crazy, that refers to her time in an institution.
Okay. All right. Now, thank you.
Yeah.
That's an explanation I can get behind.
Hardy, how about this? Guy doesn't exist. Guy is a figment of her imagination.
I was
going to
mention that. Boy, you came into my life. I've missed you so bad.
Yeah, it's like a figment of her imagination. She is sitting in a padded cell. It's like the movie The Joker. Like, it was all him fantasizing.
Right.
It's like St. Elsewhere. It was the kid staring into the snow globe.
Okay. All right. So she has been institutionalized, and
yes,
now she's trying to get her sanity back. That's what the song means.
No, she's invented everything in her head to cope.
Okay, so she has not sought any treatment yet. This song was written.
She's going through treatment. It's just unsuccessful.
Okay. All right. Well, now it makes sense.
I mean, she's talking. She's maybe talking to a bag of Fritos.
Okay. All right. Now listen. This next one has bothered me for nearly 27 years. It was released in August of 1993, so it missed out on being the song of the summer. Had they released it just a few months earlier, I'm sure this song would have captivated the nation.
I hate this song. Oh, I hate this song.
Hold the phone. He won't do that. Fred, he just said that he would do anything for love, but Meatloaf won't do that. What is he talking about?
By the way, him losing his voice and not being able to sing anymore proves the existence of God.
That's not a kind thing to say, and I think he sang like an angel.
You don't like Meatloaf. There's no way you like Meatloaf. Meatloaf is the Meatloaf might be the worst artist of all time.
That's a horrible thing to say. You don't like that song with the baseball montage in the middle of it?
No. Phil Rizzuto talking like he's rounding the bases and it's a euphemism for sex.
Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I don't. Wait a second. That song's about sex?
Yeah. Yeah, it's about having sex in a car. You know what I like is the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You know,
it's
Meatloaf,
like I go with the football team.
Meatloaf is actually a decent actor too. He was in Steve Martin vehicle, Leap of Faith.
Oh well, I can tell it's Steve Martin that helped him out, considering I've never heard of that movie before, and I'm a Steve Martin fan, especially when he plays the banjo. No, don't play it. I don't want this. I don't want this in my ears. Please stop playing it. I hate it. I hate it.
Well, what does he mean when he says I would do anything for love, but I won't do that? What does it mean?
Stop eating. It means put down the pie.
All right.
Well, he said, because I'd do anything for love but wash my hair. I'd do anything for love but these M&Ms.
All right.
That's what he's saying.
I got a couple more songs that need interpretation. Mm-hmm. If you would help me out with these, please. Are you ready?
All right. Let's go. Let's get back to this because what we'll do is we'll talk to Dan Roach and then we can get back.
Sure.
But first, Chris on line one. Hello.
Freddie T, big fan. I like the cut of your jib. I'll shoot the breeze with you any day.
Well,
you're telling
baby.
Me you're not a Meatloaf fan. Come on, Freddie T.
You're not a Meatloaf fan.
Oh, I am 28 years old, and I live for deep cuts of Meatloaf, Freddie T.
You do not like Meatloaf. You don't like the food,
you
Meatloaf?
Paradise of a Dashboard Light.
Yeah, that's a big, deep cut.
Listen, he is a monster of a mountain of a man serenading that beautiful woman for 8.5 minutes. How can you not like him?
First of all, do you think that he's really having... Do you think he's really having sex in a car? That Meatloaf's ever been able to have sex in a car? It could be a stretch limousine and he couldn't do it.
It's a big rig. There's no way he's not doing that big rig style.
It's a U-Haul truck. All right, very good. We'll be right back with Dan Roach. So now I'm praying.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Meet Dan, a happy, fun-loving guy from Massachusetts.
Let's make this an APD in here today, an all-positive day.
2020 started out like any other year for Dan. A trip to Disney. Then... Red Sox spring training.
Morning. How we doing?
His own personal heaven.
Go, good. No complaints. Morning.
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 But 2020 had other plans.
Fans,
because due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed.
No.
We're also going to close sports facilities.
No.
I don't think we ever should ever shake hands ever again, to be honest with you.
No.
162-game season in the postseason format that we have, we're probably not going to be able to do that this year.
No.
Brady and an Arian system with Leftwich and Godwin and Evans.
No.
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 Hello? Where am I? I can't see. Hello? Who's there? Who are you?
Take me into the ballroom. Take me out to the front. I need some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Take Dan out to a ball game or die.
Sub, we're Toucher and Rich. Dan Roach. Got to be a fairly happy man now. He works for WBZ Television.
No.
He's got to be a fairly happy man as he gets back into the swing of things. Dan joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Dan.
Freddie, how are we doing? Hardy, Joe.
Hi,
doing
Dan.
Well.
Yo.
Now, Dan, are you a fan of music? We were just playing music.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you listen to it in the car? Do you listen to it, you know, at home? How do you consume it?
A little bit of both. You know what I mean? I'll flip around and listen to the car sometimes. I'll be at home. I'll put it on, you know, a little playlist, a country playlist, things like that. That's all.
All right. So you like you like mainstream country music is what you
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. You know me, Fred. I'm a cookie-cutter kind of guy, you know?
Well, I'm not making fun of you. There's millions of people that enjoy that music.
Yeah, no, but I listen to, you know, try to keep up with today's, you know, Luke Combs and the Thomas Rhett's and the Blake Shelton's of the world and those people, so, you know.
I don't know. What's your favorite song of all time?
Of all time? Probably Friends in Low Places.
That's a Garth Brooks song.
Yes. Yeah.
I met the guy who wrote that.
Did you really?
Yep. He sold it to him for, like, no money.
How many writers have done that over the course? You guys know music way better than I do. How many writers over the course of their history have done that? Sold hits for nothing?
In the new country genre, I would say all of them. Because those people write their own music.
No, they're actually in Nashville. There are professional songwriters, so they get paid a salary. And they just churn out songs, and then they get bonuses based on how well they sell. But this guy was fairly new to Nashville, and he just, I think he didn't sell it directly to Garth Brooks, but he sold it to, like, a publishing company for, like, no money.
Wow. Like, so let me ask you this, then. If you write a hit song, like, how long has it been? Like, if you're a guy and you write a hit song, do you get paid over and over again for that song when it plays?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, now when it plays, what is the BMI? What do you get, Hardy? Would you get like half a penny every time it's played?
Yeah, but I think it's gotten better. I think they've renegotiated a lot of those deals due to Spotify and Pandora, and I think it's better than it was. But I think what you're saying, Fred, is that some of these people over the years have sold their songs like outright. Like I can't afford
just gave up
to
all the rights.
You know, get royalties every year. So here, Friends in Low Places, you can have it for $5,000 because I need to pay my mortgage and bills and all this stuff.
Let me ask you this. Would an artist ever go back to that writer and pay them out of his own pocket just because of situations like that?
Well, Garth Brooks didn't. So
no.
I can tell you he didn't in that situation.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious. You know,
and I don't think it was close to $5,000. I think it was a lot less than that, but the
you would think that they would be indebted because it's such a big hit that they would say, "Hey, listen, here's, you know, $20,000 or something like that." You know what I mean? Just to say thank you. But
the guy is still a professional songwriter, so
oh wow,
ended up on his feet. All right, Danny Roach. Now, what is your feeling about this season? First of all, Joe Murray, what's over and over under on the home run leader?
Ooh, it's 19 and a half for the season, Dan. What do you think?
Wow, that's a 19 and a half at 60. Yeah, that's well. You know, I think that's a lot. I think I would go under. You know, only because. You know, you put that, you do the math, and it's, you know, three times, so you're going to have someone hit, you know, 57 home runs over 162 games. I would go, you know, I would go under 19.
Who has the advantage, pitchers or positional players, when it comes to starting off the season, in your opinion?
Well, they always say in spring training, it's the pitchers have the advantage because they always seem to be ready. But it's different this year because these guys will come back and they come off of spring training, but that was 3-4 months ago. But and they've been throwing on the side. But you know, I would think it's pretty much even coming out of the chute this time because nobody knows what to expect when it comes to these games. Nobody knows how to go about the business. I mean, Ron Renicki was talking the other day about, you know, they're going to have inter-squad games at night. They're going to do everything they can to get used to it and get ready. They may have an exhibition game, one or two of them, if maybe the team that's coming in to open up or they're going somewhere to open up, they may do it that way. So it's going to be, you know, a free-for-all starting out. And I said this to you guys last week, a couple weeks ago, is that I think the team with the best bullpen that can survive with the arms is going to be the team that emerges here as the best team, at least in the regular season, because of just how limited the starters can be coming out of the chute for 60 games.
All right, Dan, go ahead. Go ahead, Artie.
Yeah, I'm wondering because, you know, you follow this and know, like, the schedule of spring training and the first games that are played as well as anybody. So, like, how condensed is this? Because, you know, we think about it as starting super early when pitchers and catchers report, but a lot of guys show up to camp at the same time. This seems to be, like, in a lot shorter duration from the time they're all showing up to when they're going to play. But with the guys who show up later, maybe it's not all that different. Is it like, a lot shorter duration right now? Is it going to be a lot different from what they would normally go through?
I think it's going to be a lot different for the starting pitchers. And the other part of it is human nature takes over here because of, you know, you come back to spring training, and no matter what kind of shape you're in, you know, physically to hit or physically to pitch, you can get yourself into shape over the course of, because what? They report on February 15th. Their first games are usually pretty quick, you know, about 10 days later, if that, around the 23rd, 24th, 25th. And then they play for 6 weeks after that to get ready for the regular season. So the pitchers can accumulate 6 or 7 starts. They're only going to be able to make three, maybe, if that, maybe 4 to get ready. You know, Nate Eovaldi told me, though, that he only needs 3 weeks, but he's a guy that's a workout warrior, and he's been throwing a lot on the side already coming in. So it's individual guys. And you guys know, Fred, you know, in coaching your team and your sons in teams as well, is that this just some kids have that work ethic, that discipline. Some players don't have that work ethic, that discipline. Some have just been sitting around, maybe hitting once a day. Other guys have been going at it 2, 3, 4 times a day, trying to get live pitching and everything else. So I think a lot of it's going to be individualistic, and that's going to be part of it. It's because, you know, does a certain guy for the Red Sox, does J.D. Martinez show up in great shape? You know, if he's not, then you're in trouble. Does Devers show up in great shape? If not, you're in trouble. So I think it's going to be each team is going to have its different ways. And then, you know, the other factor is, are guys going to test positive, and how does that throw a wrench into if you have, you know, Erod and Nathan Eovaldi out of the chute test positive, then what? You know what I mean? So, I mean, you can go in with this rotation on paper, you can go in with this plan, but if it takes out your number one starter, it takes out your 3, 4, 5 hitter, you're in trouble. So I think it's just going to be a free-for-all here. Nobody knows what to expect.
Hey, Dan, just to add to that, can they even announce who has the coronavirus? I was reading yesterday that they're not going to be able to.
But you're going to know, right? I mean, you're going to know if you don't see, you know, after the course of 3, 4, 5, 6 days, certain player on the field, you know, for the Red Sox. If Xander Bogaerts is there working out for day one and day two, and then all of a sudden starting on day 3 through 7 or 8 or 9, he's not there, it's going to lead to speculation that he tested positive, right? I mean, those are kind of some of the things that are going to happen. Again, I always go back to sports and baseball. What Tito used to always say, just Roach, use your common sense. I think we're going to see that with certain players, even if they don't reveal who tested positive. I think it's just going to be a natural thing because we're going to be able to watch the workouts. You know, I'm going to be at Fenway starting tomorrow. So you're going to see that as we go about here, and you'll see who tests positive and who doesn't.
All right, so they're letting you into Fenway.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't go anywhere near the players. You know what I mean? So you know, I'll be up with the media. I think we're up in left field in the Coca-Cola seats and watching from there. And then our photographers can go down, but no closer than six rows towards the field as in the bowl down below and shoot that. And then every interview will be done via Zoom like it's being done now. So that'll kind of be the way that we get to cover this team. And, you know, I won't go to every single game because the Patriots will start training camp and then, the Celtics and the Bruins will be playing. But I'll try to get there as often as I can. And then for games, we'll be able to, you know, they'll put us somewhere to sit and watch the games. But, again, no pregame access, no postgame access, only via Zoom. So
I don't know why Wallach's always in your backyard.
Are you vacationing with his family this week?
I don't know. I think it's just because of the pandemic. There's just a lot more nature in every neighborhood now. You know, I got a bird sanctuary out here in my backyard, which I never heard before in my life for 20 years. So,
John's getting laid like never before.
Come on, Freddie.
All right, Dan. All right.
Fred, you know what I saw for the first time in the wild in my life last week was an owl. I saw an owl up in the tree behind my house. Yeah, have you ever seen an owl like out in nature?
I have not.
Yeah, I'd never seen one either. And the birds were going nuts. Like, the birds did not like this owl hanging around. And he sat up there for a while, just big as life, majestic. Oh, turning that head.
I went for a walk, heard a rumbling in the woods, and then all of a sudden, right in front of me, a huge deer stopped in the middle of the road and just was staring at me. And I just said, "How you doing?" And then he turned, looked, and walked and ran back into the woods. So stuff you see nowadays is just like, it's crazy.
Well, you know what they say in Tennessee is because the main road where my parents live gets very dark at night, and my mom has hit a deer, and because the deer are very dumb, and they come out on the street and just stand there like idiots while your car goes at them. And I've been told this and been made fun of, but I've been made fun of by Yankees, is that you're supposed to speed up into them.
Are you really?
That is what I've been told. Is because I swear to God, is that
why?
Because the impact knocks them over more. Like, you're just going through them instead of if you hit the brakes at the last second, like it's like hitting a brick wall. You understand what I'm saying? You guys ever hear that?
Yeah.
Just wow. So speed up, you start going 100.
Yeah, it'll scare the heck out of me though. It must scare the crap out of your mom. You know?
Oh yeah. People die. People die.
Yeah.
During it. You know what I'm saying? All right, so what about these people licking their fingers and everything? There's no way the league can stop that.
No, I heard you. And it's almost like, you know, we've been talking about pace of play forever, too. So this kind of goes into that category in my mind, is that, you know, I've been to minor league games over the past, you know, several years, and they have a pitch clock in place, whether it be 26 seconds, 20 seconds, what have you. You notice it when you first get there for the first time, and you see it, and you're constantly watching it. And after a few hitters or whatever, you don't even pay attention to it, and the umpires don't either. It just kind of gets indoctrinated into these guys' mentality. So they know to get the ball back, get back on the mound before 20 seconds goes, you pitch. And I think it's going to be that same thing, Fred. I think they'll have all these rules in place. They may say, they may have a warning, hey, go to the wet rag instead of your fingers, da-da-da-da-da-da. But I think as they continue to play, that it'll have to lax off a little bit. I do think, though, that the spitting and the chewing tobacco and everything else, that's going to be curtailed pretty quickly by all these people, just for each other. I remember going to Japan, and one of the worst sights I've ever seen in baseball was, you know, the Red Sox played a game, had all their chewing gum, their tobacco, their seeds and everything else, spitting in the dugout as the game went on. And after the game, there were four or five young workers with scrub brushes, soap, and buckets and everything else just cleaning and scrubbing the dugout to get it clean, to crystal clean to where it was last time. So I was just like, show that to the players and everything else just out of respect for each other. And hopefully you curtail all the spitting and everything else and just go from there. Chew gum and keep it in your mouth. That's the only thing you can do, you know?
All right. Well, Dan Roach from WBZ gets to go to Fenway Park. He was a little concerned that he wasn't going to be able to do that, but here we are, and he will be able to do so. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, guys. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th, Dan.
All right.
See you,
take
Dan.
It easy. All right. Hardy has more questions that he needs me to answer. We'll have it for you after the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Hardy has... by the way, Seinfeld is on the background here. How long would it take you to, if you just tuned into the middle of a Seinfeld, would it take you with no audio to identify the episode?
I don't know. 8 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'm like at a second today.
I don't know that I would be able to tell you, like, especially talking about when they hit their prime, when they were really in stride, there would be three things going on, and sometimes right. They would all like meet up at the end. I'd be able to tell you one or two of them right away, but I don't know if I'd get all three.
Yeah, well, maybe some of us just have a gift. By the way, yeah. Which Felger could endorse more products? All right, I mean, it's getting a little crazy. All right, now Hardy, you are in the music business. You have been involved in the music business for a very, very long time. We both were on alternative radio stations at one point in our career. You have an encyclopedic knowledge when it comes to bands like Chevelle and other bands that got played one song on the radio. So you have some questions that have confounded you for years.
Well, some songs have puzzled me, Fred, and we've already taken care of Carly Rae Jepsen with Call Me Maybe. You have dismissed the conversation of Meatloaf and I Would Do Anything for Love, which is unfortunate because I think you're forgetting the music video, which was I believe, paid homage to Phantom of the Opera. But you don't want to talk about
it. Is that Andrew Lloyd Webber, Phantom of the Opera?
Like you don't know. Yes. Come on, it's real theater.
I'm a huge fan of his.
But there are other songs that I have questions about, and this is a good example right here. I mean, it's from a celebrated Grammy Award-winning album. It was the quote-unquote hit song from this album, but it's puzzled me and many, many people for years. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon grave. Paul Simon sang You Can Call Me Al, and I'm wondering, Fred, if you could explain this song to us a little bit better than maybe it was explained by having Chevy Chase in the video.
He was so funny. Lip-syncing
the lyrics, these in particular.
Well, no, he had a saxophone, and he pretended to play the saxophone, and Paul Correct. Simon was like, what am I going to do? I'm just a shrimp. And then Chevy Chase just took over, and then a very meek Paul Simon, who was very close to the original cast of Saturday Night Live.
If
you noticed, you know, he played basketball against one of the people. All right, You Can Call Me Al.
Yes.
He's a streetwalker.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal.
Yeah.
I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. What does it mean, Fred?
He's a streetwalker. And there's a negotiation going on, and he goes, well, let's role play that you're named Betty and you're my bodyguard, and you can call me Al and do what you wish. And that is what the song is about.
He's a male hooker. He's a hustler, I believe, is the
not so much by choice, but he has a drug cartel after him. So he's looking for someone to protect him, and in order for that protection, there is expected lovemaking.
Along those lines, Fred, number one, I've heard that prostitute or hustler, whatever, are no longer the preferred terms. Sex worker is now the politically correct accepted terminology for anyone who engages in that type of act. Also, a movie about a hustler, which I recently watched again. I'd seen it for the first time just several years ago, but I went back and watched portions of it again. Dustin Hoffman and John Voight.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Cowboy.
I've seen that a couple times.
It's unwatchable. I sometimes go back and watch these old movies, and I think to myself, how did anyone ever think this was good, watchable, much less a masterpiece?
A iconic scene of them in the back of the bus at the end.
Yeah, and that's it? That's what sells it for you?
Well, that's an iconic scene. You know what's unwatchable is The Deer Hunter. You think the movie's over, and then it just keeps going.
Deer Hunter's so unwatchable, and Serpico, maybe the worst movie I've ever seen. Can't do it.
I don't think I've seen Serpico. I tried to read the book, but I got about 10 pages in and said, this is not worth my time.
I dare you to watch Serpico. Okay, so here's another one. I've never understood what this is all about. We'll listen to it now.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head?
What's going on in this song, Fred?
Oh,
Nickelback Photograph.
He's looking. Before he became an international rock sensation, Chad Kroeger from Nickelback is looking back, at the days where his friend had one of those caps on, beanies, with the helicopter on top. Yeah. And he's like looking at that, and he's like, ah, because now I'm a rock star, and I'm living on a steel horse, smoking the day's last cigarette. And it used to be so simple when I was just a hasher in high school before I dropped out and became a lead singer of a really crappy band. Yeah, he's looking at that's not hard to explain. He's looking at a photograph of the gang. That's okay. All. They were getting into all kinds of hijinks. They just lit a bag of poo on someone's front porch. They were dropping cement boulders off highway overpasses. He's thinking back to all the fun times they used to have when life was carefree. He's looking at that photograph, and he's like, I got to play another show. Okay. I mean, this is probably after his marriage or his dating Avril Lavigne fell apart.
Yeah. I couldn't see the forest for the trees on that one. This one, though, I don't know how you're going to be able to explain this one to me.
Hot balls.
I mean,
he never finished that masterpiece. The furthest that Rock and Roll Mike got with Hot Balls was saying Hot Balls.
That's not true. There's an entire catalog of Hot Balls songs.
Hot Balls! Hot Balls! Isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. Oh, yeah. Hot Balls! That's why I'm in the Landau Street. I'm working on an album.
All right, you know that he called in at least 10 times saying he was working on an album, and the only thing he ever said was Hot Balls. Oh yeah, that like, and he was doing that. He would explain to us that he was working on the album on an album, and this went on for like months, and that all he ever said was Hot Balls. Yeah, but he can also perform Creatures of the Night by Kiss. He knows every single word to, of all songs, Creatures of the Night by Kiss.
Right, right. And so don't sell them short is all I'm saying.
I'm going to run for president in 2020. I don't remember.
Yeah. Only thing he remembered was Creatures of the Night. From the very famous Kiss record, Creatures of the Night.
It's unbelievable. And I know, I've heard him do it, every single word. And singing it in key, if I'm not mistaken. Nick or somebody asked him to sing it, and maybe he's got perfect pitch. He just knew what note to start on, and he nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, Rock and Roll Mike, if anything else, is we tried so bad to get us, like Gene Simmons in studio to meet Rock and Roll Mike. But when Rock and Roll Mike comes, you got to corral that guy. Like I said, he's a wet cat. You get him in a car, and he could take off running at any time.
That's right. That's right.
Hot balls. And I got something to tell you people. I'm working on an album. Hot balls. Right on. Hey.
So you're saying he was a 50s bad boy that married his cousin.
I don't know. You say he never finished the album. I think all this evidence speaks otherwise.
Seems to be relying on a lot of other singers.
It's reinterpretations of some songs you may have heard before. Yeah. So what? You draw inspiration from wherever you can get it.
Oh, yeah. Balls. Hot balls.
Belly 21.
Hot balls.
Looking for big fun.
Hot balls.
What's your fantasy?
Hot balls.
Do you want to play with me?
That's not good.
All right. Very good. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We'll get to the hockey season coming up at 9 o'clock, but you know what came to my attention? I'm not obviously friends with her on virtually or anywhere else, but my mother-in-law is quite a radical politically. My wife has a friend who is friends with her on Facebook, and she's become quite radicalized. It is something to behold. They are the
which side of the aisle is she on, Fred?
She's falling off the right side of the cliff. She's that far right. It is something else. It is really something else.
I think
but
it's funny.
It's all through GIF form. It's like, it's all GIFs. Like, it's not like an opinion or a thought out thing. It's just GIFs that's for some reason old people love. Like, Schilling just loves it. It was just such a sign of being dumb.
Well, either side, if you are like falling off the cliff on either side, I think it's hysterical, number one. But number two, the notion that your mother-in-law, what little I know about her, would be on that side of things, I think is even more funny.
I was like, unaware of her political leanings at all. There was never a discussion or anything. I just saw it via GIF form.
What little I know about her, you would think that she would gravitate towards something that may have some deeper meaning to her, but no. So she's all in on everything is a hoax.
Is that where
she's going with it?
Very, very wary of the press. Okay, because I just said that because on Facebook, this has nothing to do with my mother-in-law. And someone I know that I used to work with put up this thing about this woman that threatened to, like, murder people. And she threatened to murder people that said all lives matter. And she, like, went into, like, this whole thing. And one of the responses is, little brat needs her mouth washed out with soap and a few hard cracks in her backside. She should have had them while growing up. See, publicly threatening murder.
Right, right.
To people who say all lives matter.
Right.
All she needs is her mouth washed out with soap and a few hard cracks on her backside.
That's right. Stick a bar of Lifebuoy in her mouth and that'll fix it.
Was there any, like, weaker punishment than getting your mouth washed out with soap?
Did you ever have that happen to you literally?
Yes, like twice, when there was just desperation. My mom was just in a desperation mode,
yeah.
Like where nothing was working. Because they didn't hit me. So maybe they should have, but they didn't hit
obviously.
Me.
Obviously.
Little brat. Hey, so this woman was threatening to kill all these people. Well, she needs her mouth washed out with soap, I can tell you that much.
Someone needs to take her in hand. What?
Slap her on the backside. Ah, you.
I think we only did the mouth wash out with soap as, like, a goof to see what it would be like. I don't think it was ever an actual punishment in my house.
See, what you would have to do is you would have to have, like, the seashell soap, like the little soaps, and then you would have to make them chew it. Because I think that would be unpleasant. But just sticking a bar of soap in your mouth, it doesn't even, it's nothing.
Matt Dillon did that in Flamingo Kid when he went into the guest bathroom there at Phil Brody's house. He thought it was a candy, and he ate it out of the soap dish.
Guess what I watched over the weekend?
What?
The Flamingo Kid.
Oh, my. Does it hold up?
It does. But I'll tell you, it is not available on demand. You have to order the DVD. It is not available on demand. Sweet Ginger Brown, my friend.
Oh, Big Sid. He was a duplicitous son of a gun, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, he was using the fat hairy guy to tell him what to do.
No, that was Big Sid. Phil Brody was using Big Sid.
Oh, okay. Well, listen.
King.
You have far better memory than I do.
You just all watched right. It.
Well, listen. I watched it. I don't remember all the names. You're a little brat. I think you washed out with soap and a few hard cracks on your backside.
All right. Lesson learned.
You know? Imagine going on to, like, a social media and feeling the need to say that.
No.
You know what needs to be said is that this lady needs a few cracks on her backside.
I can't believe you're still on, like, that active on Facebook at all.
I'm not. It's just I have a computer in front of me, and, like, during breaks, I'll just check in.
Okay.
See what's doing. I haven't posted anything on Facebook in maybe a year or more. I don't know. I find it interesting because there's the people that use Facebook are the people that can't figure out anything else. So you get a lot of weirdos.
Which to me is ironic because I think Facebook has become the most confusing of the social media platforms. Like what's the wall? What's the about? You know, I get messages sent to me on a different app, and I haven't posted anything on Facebook. Maybe in I think it's been years. I think it's been multiple years since I have like two different accounts. I don't pay attention to either one of them, but I still get notifications that pop up from time to time. And then I'll go and look and say, oh, you have a message from somebody like an actual friend, someone I would have liked to have reconnect with.
That's happened to me, too.
But it was like it was literally like 8 months ago and I never saw it. And I'm like, I can't respond to it now.
Yeah, like someone had a bunch of CDs of my show in Atlanta and asked if I wanted them, and it was like from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that anyone had contacted me. Plus, the fun thing about Facebook.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.